Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
We open up a January-February series entitled Words That Matter. Words that matter. I want to dive right into it. We have about 100,000, we have hundreds of thousands of words in the English language, and they come and go. There's some that are in 1 year and then they're not there the next year, and there's just hundreds of thousands of words that you can know. The average person knows about 50,000 words to about 200,000 words. Winston Churchill knew about 400,000 words. They say that he knew more words than almost anyone knew that meaning and would use so many words in his vocabulary. We use about 5,000 different words daily. That's about the daily use of different words, about 5,000 different words. And we all know the fact that women speak about twice as many as men do. And so women would say, well, it's because I have to repeat everything that I have to say. Everything I say, I have to repeat to men. And the men would say, what? It kind of works that way. So that's the relationship. Words, 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 words that matter. We speak so many words. There are so many words that have a lot of different meanings. There are words that have one meaning, but then they have to someone else another meaning. Words describe us. Words shape us. There are over 788,000 words that are in the King James Bible, different words. Now, 15,000 of those are unique. They only are spoken one time. That's a lot of words in the Bible. As we start out 2011, here's the thought that has been in my heart and something I want to talk about that I believe could shape the rest of the year, and not just shape this year, but shape our life and shape our families. And that's the question of what will be the words that shape you? What will be the words that that describe the year that you're having or going to have? What are the words that make a difference in your life? What words will happen that will make a difference in your family, in your walk, as you as a career person, as a marriage? A couple weeks ago, we did a little faith exercise and we talked a little bit about leaving behind some things in 2010. But we just didn't leave it with that. We went ahead and moved forward to what do we want to move forward to in 2011? Leaving things behind in 2010. And some of you remember that. Overwhelmingly, there were these common words for us that we're to leave behind in 2010. And I just want to give you kind of a few of them. I'll give you the top 10 that thousands of people wrote a lot of different things, but these were the common words. Unforgiveness, we'd like to leave behind 2010. Selfishness, words. Procrastination, laziness, gossip, anger, insecurity. What an interesting word. Insecurity, word we want to leave behind in 2010. Envy, lust, fear. These words that I just described, these top 10, they represent our words. These are words that many of us felt like happened in 2010. These are words that maybe dominated the landscape of our life or dominated what we walked through and what we struggled with and what we thought about and what drove us in our behavior and our actions and our attitude. Words, words, words. So we dive into this series and we talk about this conversation, and just have a sequence of messages, a sequence of words as it describes words that can shape us. The question would be, we know all those things and we're fully aware. It was quick. We could write down words that affected us. But the real question, if we turn the corner, is this. What would God's word be for us? What would the word that God would want to give us? What would His list offer to us? If God was to put a list together and say, here's the list of words that I want to see happen in your life. And I want to see happen in your journey. And I want these words to describe your adventure that I have for you. What would it say? Does God have favorite words? Are there words that are His favorite words? And are there words that He really likes? Are there words that He really enjoys? Are there words that God sees that disappoint His heart? Are there words that God has that makes Him smile? See, I believe the words from God, if you and I would get a hold of them and the ones that we are going to use and the ones that we feel like the Lord has given us in our hearts to describe and talk about, have this conversation throughout January and February, I believe the words from God can make a difference in our life. I believe with all of my heart, His words can shape our life, can transform and change things. So the first installment the very obvious word from God that I think matters, words that matter. And a word that matters is love, L-O-V-E, love, love. There's a lot of ways to describe love. The best way to describe it is to read what he says about it in 1 John. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and I want to read to you about 15 verses, because there are no greater words written on this subject than in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 21. Verse 7 through 21, and I'll read it out of what many call God's love letter, which is his scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. These are 15 verses. And here's what's interesting. 15 verses that mention the word love in some form 25 times. 15 verses over 25, maybe I think it's more than, I think it's 26, 27 times that is mentioned just in a single passage. Let's look at it. Verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed us his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent a son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, makes us think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. See these similarities. And remember, God has a different definition of love than many times what we've experienced or what we've expressed. So a lot of times when we hear the word love, just like if you were to say some word to someone, it would mean something different than it does you. When we hear this word love, we're trying to get in tune with what does that word mean to God. So the Bible says, I'll read verse 10 to you one more time because I think it's important. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Drop down to verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love of, that love God has for us. Here we hear it again. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in his world we are like him. I love verse 18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. A few more verses. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, he hates his brother, he is a liar, liar, pants on fire. For anyone, it's not in the Bible. That was just, I added to that. So that's not in my version. What does he have? For anyone who does not love God, love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. He has given us this commandment. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. In this passage, I really believe this, church, there occurs what is probably the greatest single statement and word about God in the whole Bible. That God is love. I don't know if there's a greater statement. I don't know if there's a greater way that God can describe himself throughout all of Scripture. That God is love. I could go all year on love. We could talk about the definitions of love and the different loves that are described in the Bible, and the erotic love and friendship love and brotherly love. And when God talks about love, we know that he's talking about a thing called agape love, which is unconditional love. And God has perfect love, which is hard for us to understand because it's hard to ever see perfect love. We get glimpses of it in our life. Sometimes you get a glimpse of it in a marriage. Sometimes you get a glimpse of it in your children. You get a glimpse of it when someone sacrifices. But it's not something that a lot of times is front and center in the way that we use the word love. Go all day long. I mean, we got Valentine's Day, which is just about a month away. Hint, hint. Make a note. Text yourself. We could talk about songs. I thought about, well, I'm just going to bring out all the love songs that we know about. We could talk about, you know, quotes about love. There's some great quotes by Mother Teresa. I read a couple this morning by Martin Luther King Jr. Amazing quotes about the trueness of love and the realness of love and the sacrifice of love. We could do poems. How do I love thee? I mean, we could do Shakespeare, because I'm a Shakespearean. Not true. We could tell stories about love. We could talk about how many times, you know, just search the word love on Google. 1.8 billion results for the word love. One of the greatest words that has the most amount of results in some type of search is love. When you think about the word love, love makes an impact. It makes a difference. It changes things. I love that statement. God is love. God is love. You know, one of the things that is a real cool honor by being a pastor is you get to be on the front row seat of God's love in people's lives. You get to have a front row seat of grace and mercy. You get to talk to a lot of people. And I thought about this morning. I've been in ministry now 26 years. And I believe probably the biggest difference maker and the thing that totally shapes one's life is getting this. Does someone get that God is love, or does someone not get that God is love? I don't know if there's anything that shapes a person. Let me say it this way. I don't know if there's anything that shapes a person's life more than if they understand that God is love, or if they have a warped, messed up interpretation of what God is. See, the presence of God's love will change everything. The absence of God's love will change everything. We all know that the three words, I believe the three most important words are God is love. I don't believe the three most important words are I love you. Because I believe until you understand God is love, you don't understand I love you. Is anybody hearing me in this service? I mean, you think about it. You know, I used to say the most important words, they may be the most important words that we can say to one another, but I've kind of changed my thoughts over the last several days that I've studied. Three most important words is God is love. Because, I mean, those three, when you say those words, I love you, it changes everything. The presence of God's love will shape a family. It'll strengthen a child. The absence of God's love will destroy a family. Or the absence of I love you also can mess up a person's life. When someone grows up, never hears it. And someone grows up and never finds it. That's where you see young girls going to search for it in all kinds of places. Young guys trying to prove themselves, trying to earn it. You see all these things that go on. This cycle of craziness that happens in our world because of the absence of love. This topic is broad, and I just have a few minutes to talk about it because we want to get to those who've experienced God's love. They're going to express it through baptism. So, you know, when I was thinking this morning, I've just been studying. I just wrote some thoughts down because for me, when I look at this thought, love, words that matter, it is a broad, it's the only thing I can compare it to is when I stand at the cereal aisle in Walmart. You can have so many choices. The only illustration, I thought, this is so broad. What is it like? What is it like? Since I'm fasting, it's like cereal. Because there's so many choices. You could talk about the sweetness. You could talk about the healthy. You could talk about the fun. You could talk about the not so healthy. You could talk about the dry. You can talk about the colorful. It's just so much to cover and to choose from. But I want to stay the course that we find in 1 John chapter 4. Because it's the truth. It is the truth. It is the truth about love. That God is love. And I believe we'll get it this morning. It will unlock many doors. It will answer many questions that we try to find. So I'm just going to give you a few. And I'm going to be in a teach mode. Can I have a good amen? So I just want to teach you. Just give me a few minutes. Let me teach you God's word for a few minutes. Let me unpack it as it relates to 1 John chapter 4 as it speaks to us about a word that matters and a word that can change our life when we embrace and we understand what is true love. What is this thing I hear about? What is this thing I sing about? What is this thing that people talk about? I'm not sure if I've ever gotten it, Pastor. What is love? Here's the first thing. God's love. And when you think about the love of God, you say, where does it come from? Where did he get it from? Here's the cool thing. The origin of love is from God. God is the source. Love has its origin in God Almighty. We didn't come up with it. Somebody who was just a romantic, I just have this feeling, and just coin a phrase or just begin to describe it. I know there are words that we read. There's words that we read something about love. Oh, that's how I feel. But love has its origin in God. That's what it says in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another. Love comes from God. True, pure, authentic love comes from God. It is from the God who is love that all true and pure love takes its source. And see, when you kind of say, okay, then I think I could go with that, it helps you understand creation. Because sometimes, do you ever wonder why God created people that hurt him? You ever read something in the paper and you thought, wow, God created those people and now they've hurt their children? Or you see things that happen in the world, you think, how did God create all this? And we have all these problems. Can I tell you the reason why we were created? We are here because God loves us. Creation is an expression of God's love. And one of the greatest things about God's love is that God gives us a free will. That's one of the high marks of God's love, is that we are not robots. I can do the robot. We are not robots. If we were robots, there could be no love, because we are forced to do something. Forcing someone to do something is not love. Let me tell you something. If you love somebody and you're making them love you, they're not loving you, my friend. That's possessive love. And possessive love is not authentic love. I'm going to make you love me. Love me. Love me. Okay, call the police. Because you're crazy. That's not love. You tie somebody, put them in a closet. You're going to love me. They're not going to love you. Love is a choice. Love is free will. Creation says that God is love. Since God is love, guess what? He couldn't love in loneliness or isolation. He couldn't be God in isolation. So what did he do? He created us to love. He is love. He created us out of that love. See, I really believe love must have someone to love for it to be love. And so God created us. The origin of love is God. And God created us to love. And for us to love him back. Through our lips and our life. Our devotion, our commitment, our embrace. We love him back. So creation says that God is love. God enjoys loving you. God enjoys loving you. Your life, where you're at. He looks forward to it day by day. He looks forward to loving you. You may feel like nobody looks forward to loving me. I mean, there's nobody that wakes up in the morning who's crazy in love with me. Now, you may be crazy in love with somebody and they don't even know it. You wake up in the morning, you got their picture, you're kind of stalking, kind of have a good amen. You know, you love them and you see them at coffee or you see them in the workplace and you love them, but they don't love you back. I mean, it's just kind of odd. You don't know. You're kind of uncertain. You're wondering. And sometimes in a relationship, even in a marriage, it's that we wonder, where are we on the love meter? And what do we say? Can I tell you, on the love meter of God, you are ringing the bell. God loves you every day, and he enjoys loving you every day because he is love. He is love. I put it like St. Augustine said, God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. I think that's so incredible. It's like how a parent can have 5 children and the child comes to us and says, you love me more than all the others, don't you? I love you all the same. A child just can't, he's like, I don't like that. I want to be ranked. Where's the ranking? And the parent says, I can't rank you. Okay. Don't tell nobody. I love you more than your brother. You know, I mean, it's not going to work that way. It doesn't work that way. What do you love your child? And only a parent can understand that. As a child, it's hard to understand it. But as a parent, you fully understand that definition and that expression. Guess what? God loves all of us. All of us. All of us. Now, here's the second thought that we get right out of John, 1 John chapter 4. It is by love that God is known. It is by love that God makes himself known. Now, this is where we start getting a little bit of wiggle in our thinking, the wiggles. We start, okay, what about them? What about Jomo Trud? What about them? I mean, came down fire, but yeah, I mean, he busted somebody upside the head. He killed like a gazillion people in the Old Testament. Is that love? I mean, are you sure? It is by love that God is known. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says this, no one has ever seen God. Ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. No one has seen God. But if we love one another, we see the love of God. We can't see God. He's a spirit. But we see his effects. Just like we can't see the wind, but we see what it does. You can't see electricity, but we're here today because of what it produces. Amen. The effect of God is love. Love will transform. Love changes. Love forgives. Love cleanses. Love gives you a fresh start. You can't see it, but you feel the effect of it. That's why I love what it says in verse 17 and verse 18. In this way, love is made complete among us that we have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. Perfect fear drives out love because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. I love how it says that when love comes in, fear goes out. We know God's love, not just by fear. We fear God, but we don't fear him in the way that we are scared of him. And he doesn't love us and he doesn't care. We fear him in reverence. We fear him in godly fear. But perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because we know that God loves us and we express love back to him. Then we're not constantly thinking about the punishment of God, the punishment of God, the punishment of God. We know that there is the punishment of God. But when you embrace the love of God that is found in Jesus Christ, you know that Jesus Christ has taken your punishment. We understand that. That's what God is trying to say to us. That I love you. I am love. I don't know what you've thought. I don't know what you've learned. I don't know what the expression is. But I am love. All because he loves us. Changes our lives. And lastly, most important, and I believe this third one ties it all together. Ties everything up. So if you're thinking, what about this? What about this? This will tie it all together. God's love is demonstrated perfectly in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Verse 9 is a great verse. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Look at verse 10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God is love. When you see Jesus, I think there are two things you see about God's love. Here's the first thing, and I want you to remember this. If you remember anything we talk about today, remember this. When you see Jesus, you see this about the effects and description of God's love, that it is a love that holds nothing back. Nothing back. Jesus held nothing back. God sent his Son, the most prized possession of heaven, to make a sacrifice for our sin. He went way beyond. Why? Because that's what we are worth to him. We're worth that much, that God held nothing back. So I don't feel that worth, but guess what? God feels like you're that worth, that you're that worthy. You may not feel that valuable, but God feels like you're that valuable. But Dina, what about what I've done? The disappointments, the sin, the problems, the challenges. Of course, that's why he sent Jesus, because if he just sees us without Christ, then he sees that. But then when he sees us through Christ, guess what? He sees the sacrifice. He sees the demonstration of his love for us. And he loves us so much that he held nothing back. And you know, the other thing that Jesus shows us about God's love that I think is so important, because I think all of us feel this way, when you see Jesus and you see God's love, you realize it is totally undeserved love for you and I. It is undeserved. Wow, I don't deserve it. It is undeserved. You could say so much about the undeserved love of God. There's an old, old hymn that says this about grace and love. How thou canst think so well of us and be the God thou art is darkness to my intellect, but sunshine to my heart. I can't figure it out how you love me so much in my intellect, but in my heart, it brightens my world. He loves the unlovable. Can I have an amen? You know, I think one of the greatest stories about God's love is the story of the prodigal son, which I don't really think is as much about a rebellious son. I think the story really is about a loving father. And I was reading it last night again. I wanted to preach on it, but I just felt like I wanted to talk about this. Here's the thing I saw last night as I was looking at when the son goes off and spends all that he spends and gets involved with all this craziness and chooses sin and chooses all this stuff beyond his father. But then he comes to himself and he repents of his sin. Can I have a good amen for repentance? He repents of his sin and he comes home. I wonder if when he's coming home, he's wondered, I wonder if my dad still loves me like he used to love me. He knew that his dad loved him. But I bet there was something that he was saying on the inside. There's no way he will love me the same because of what I've done and what I've been a part of. And I've been away and I've rebelled and I've done these things. You know, it's interesting to me that when the son comes back into the view of the father and the father runs out there and grabs hold to him. You know, what's interesting to me is that the love of the father has not diminished. That's the point. I wonder how often we live thinking that we are under diminished love. He just don't love me like he used to love me. Do you love me as much as you used to love me? Do you still love me like you did when you met me? Do you still have the same love that you had when we said our vows? Do you love me as much as you love me when we had our first kiss? When we kissed and we walked down the aisle, we headed out to our honeymoon. Do you love me the same as you used to love? Is that not what we wonder? Do you love me the same? Or has your love diminished? And what do we say? Oh no, baby, I love you more. The longer I've been with you, the longer I love you. The more I've gotten to know you, the more. That's what we want to hear. I went to a funeral 2 weeks ago of Rod and Deborah Miller's, Rod's dad. Dr. Miller was married to his wife 69 years. What? 69. 69 years. I don't know any. I know the Atkins here. They've been married 62. Is it 62 or 61? Chuck? 60 how many? 60 years. Would you stand up, Chuck and Bernie? Could you stand up? Been married 60 years. Oh, you do better than that. 60 years. They got you beat by 9 years, Chuck, baby. 9 years. You got to catch them, my brother. 69 years. Thank you. 60. Here's what was in. Here's the thing that, I mean, Brother Wayne did an incredible funeral and it was amazing. Here's the thing that just shook me up. Through the whole funeral, Miss Miller cried out loud. I've been to a lot of funerals. Mike, I've never heard anybody cry the whole time. You could hear her moaning in the funeral home. He's gone. He's gone. 69 years. She wanted one more day. I thought, I hope Delenn feels that way. I hope that we don't get over here. Yeah, Lord. Amen. Get to the potato salad. Bring on the chicken. Man, I wish it had been earlier. Couldn't take another day with that Italian. It blew my mind. 69 years, and she wanted one more day. God loves you. It has never diminished one ounce. Now, we'll talk later about what pleases God, the pleasure of God. We'll deal with all that. For all of you that like judgment, we'll get to it. Hang around. Because these are the kind of messages, I got an email of the judgment of God. We'll get to the judgment of God, my brother. God is love.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.